Please remember that request that I made concerning the church. Be praying with us. God hears and God answers. Amen. I'm going to read a familiar portion of Scripture today from the 12th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter number 12, first and second verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When the Apostle Paul was writing his final letter, just before he was put to death by Nero, the emperor of Rome, for having preached the gospel, he gave us a picture of what it's going to be like in the end time. He said, it was right into that, in that last letter to Timothy, he said, the last days, in the last days, he said, this know also that in the last days will be perilous times. You look up the word perilous. Dangerous times. Troublesome times. Difficult times. Paul said, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Some years earlier, Jesus had been questioned by some of those in the crowd, and they were asking concerning the subject of the end time, the last days. And in his response to these Pharisees and lawyers, Jesus said it would be a time that's similar to the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Those of you that are familiar with the Scriptures know something about how it was in the days of those people, in the days of Noah and the people of Lot, in Lot's day. In fact, mankind was so corruptible in the days of Noah that the Bible says that God sent a flood and destroyed all of mankind upon the face of the earth except one family. And that one family was righteous Lot and his wife, his three sons and their wives. Out of all the population of the world, Brother Josie, you really believe that the flood covered the entire earth? I surely do. Can you prove it? Yes, sirree. How? God said it. That proves it. Suppose I don't believe in God. That doesn't change it at all. God said it. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the time of the coming of the Son of Man. The last days will be like that. Noah's day, they were so corrupt and vile and evil. Then I looked at the time of Lot's living. Sometime after Noah, when Lot came along, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And soon he did not only pitch his tent towards Sodom, he moved into Sodom. And the Bible said the people there were so evil and so wicked, the Sodomites were so evil, that God rained down fire and brimstone out of heaven and wiped them out, destroyed both cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Did not leave them on this earth at all, destroyed them all. The only ones that got out was righteous Lot and his two daughters. His wife got out, but she turned to a pillar of salt when she disobeyed God. And so the Bible says, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, so shall it be in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. In the Luke chapter number 17, Jesus made mention of these same two events, the days of Noah and the days of Lot. He said there would be wickedness just like it was then in our day, in these last days. Let me just leave something with you. There's violence everywhere. There's envy and greed and ungodliness and immorality. I really believe if we had a law that a person could dress any way they want to, a lot of people would undress completely in the marketplace. You've heard about this city in on yonder in New York City, and that spread all around the cities of America. People have been killed. People have been raped. There's anarchy. There's so much going on, and it seems as if so many of our government are siding with that. Folks, we need more than a sit-in. We need God to just move in our midst. We need the power of God to work in our midst. Jesus said, as it was in Noah and Lot's day, when there was all of this immodesty and ungodliness and wickedness and corruption and all that goes along with filthiness and all the rest. He said it would be like that in the last days. And brother, I'm here to tell you this morning that we have arrived in the year 2011. We are in the last days. The Lord is coming. Whatever you do, stay ready. Amen, amen. All a person has to do to realize where we are living today is to pick up the newspaper or turn on the television, and you'll know that when the time that the Lord prophesied would come has come. These are the days similar to Noah's day and Lot's day. On another occasion, while Jesus was with the disciples on the Mount of Olives, and they looked out over the city of Jerusalem, and there was that temple. The golden temple had been built by Solomon, destroyed by the Babylonians, refurbished, rebuilt by Joshua and Zerubbabel after the return from Babylonian captivity, and then refurbished by Herod, taking 40-some years to refurbish. And there it sits as they're looking out from the Mount of Olives, looking down on the city, seeing the temple and all the beautiful buildings around about. And Jesus made a statement in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. He said, "See ye not all of these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one upon another that shall not be thrown down." Let me just paraphrase that. Do you see all of those buildings, my disciples? I've been with you these 3 years. I've told you about what's going to take place. Now, I want you to look upon those buildings. There's coming a time when there's going to be such destruction in Jerusalem that not even two stones will be left together. But they'll be separated. There's going to be a tragedy strike Jerusalem. And when he finished speaking, it stirred the hearts of the disciples. And they asked three questions. Jesus, when shall these things be? When will Jerusalem be destroyed? This is the capital city. This is where the temple is. This is where the presence of the Lord is. This is God's holy city. When will it be destroyed? And Jesus, you've mentioned that you're going to be leaving. You're going to be put to death. You're going to be leaving and going back to the Father. But you said, I'm coming back again. When will you come back again? And the third question, how about the end of the age? When will be the end of the world? What's a sign? Would you give us a sign how we'll know when the end of the world is coming? Or a sign for you coming back again? And before Jesus began to give any specifics or any details, this is important for every Christian to grasp this morning. Jesus said something before that. He said, whatever you do, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, we've mentioned that in Bible study, and I've preached about it all of these years, but I want to reemphasize something today. And this is so important that Christians grasp. Do you know who Jesus was talking to? People that have been with him all of his ministry. They've heard him teach, they've heard him preach, they've seen the miracles, they've seen the heal, they've seen the lame to walk. They've seen the dead raised up from the dead. They've seen him feed the multitudes with a voice lunch. He's done miracle after miracle and healing after healing. And his ministry is so powerful. He's talking to people that's been with him, have heard his preaching and seen his ministry in action. Not the crowd, not just anyone. But I want you to see this. He's talking to some men that after he leaves, they're going to be left behind to establish the church. To get the church on a sound footing. To get the gospel preached to all mankind and get the church established. These men with him on the top of the mountain looking down on Jerusalem are the very ones that are going to be left after he ascends to the Father to get the church established. He said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. But listen, he was going to build it through the ministry of these men. And you and me. And then he said these words to these men that are going to have the responsibility of getting the church established on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody deceive you. Be not deceived by any means. If Jesus gave a warning for the disciples about the deception that's coming, that was in the world then and has surely magnified or multiplied itself now, if He warned the disciples, I believe He's warning us. Be not deceived by any man. Dream, a teacher in the Sunday school class this morning, made a statement about Christians or Christians being disciples. We are living in a world that's filled with people that claim to be Christians. But it takes more than just claiming to be a Christian. It takes a life. And Jesus is talking to the men that He has trained, and they have been His followers and now the disciples. And He said, whatever, take heed that no man deceive you. But it didn't stop there in the course of the conversation. He went on to make mention of being deceived and the deception that was coming three more times in that very chapter. He started off with, be sure that you don't let anybody deceive you. And then He mentions it again and again and again, three more times about deception in that very chapter. And I thought, surely if He felt it necessary to mention this to His disciples, well, I feel my need today to take heed to what God has said. Let no man deceive you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the best way that I know how to keep from being deceived is found in the Scripture that I've read this morning for the text. In the next few moments of time, I want to preach from that second verse. This is the best way that I know of how to keep from being deceived in the last hour. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Amen. I'd like to take those two statements in the next few minutes of time. And be not conformed to this world. Seven powerful words when they go together. And be not conformed to this world. I like the way that Phillips said it in the Phillips translation. He said, whatever you do, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. In the days of Noah and of Lot, they conformed to the world. They conformed to what was going on around about the fads and the fancies and all the rest fashions of that day. They conformed to that. But now Jesus is saying, and Paul is saying with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and be not conformed to this world. And I want to stop there. I'll start there. And be not conformed. I like the way that one person said it. I was reading different writers, and one person said, as Christians, I've never thought of it this way, as Christians, we are not jello. Now, if just leave it that way, what is he saying? I can say this honestly. I have never made any jello. I've never done any cooking. I don't even guess you'd call making jello cooking. I watch them. They get some hot water. They take a box, empty it into the hot water, and stir it, and leave it. Is there any more to it? I believe I can do it. But let me say this. If you put it in a mold, when that jello gels, it's going to gel to fit that mold. We are not jello Christians, therefore we don't need to conform to the world. Keep that in mind. How many a day of our generation have gotten their eyes on the world, and they're conforming to the world and designed to be like those out there. But my God, my prayer is this morning, just as we discussed in the Sunday school lesson, my prayer is, God, help us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be more like Christ in every day, in our everyday living. In this second verse, and be not conformed to this world. Don't get caught up with the things of the world. And let me say a second thing. Don't follow after some new revelation that somebody comes up with that supposedly has something new from God. What we need to do that's not in the Bible. I've got a new revelation. God told me this, and He wants me to share it with you so that you might rejoice in the Lord and have the blessing of the Lord. Listen to what I say right now. God has everything in His Word that you need to know in order to go to heaven. I don't care what someone says, I've got a revelation that you've got to have oil in your hands in order to be blessed of God. Or you've got to have a mark somewhere on your body put there by God to let you know that you're one of His. Listen, I've been marked by God. When Jesus Christ came into my heart, I've been marked by the Lord. All of these years, I'm a different person. First of all, and be not conformed to this world. Don't follow after some new revelation. Thirdly, and it goes along with it, whatever you do, stay in the Word. I preached it now over 50 years, and if the Lord lets me preach one more year, I'm going to preach it the next year. If He lets me preach one more month, I'm going to preach it one more month. Stay in the Word. Whatever else you might do, stay in the Word of God. You'll never go wrong by staying in the Word. I don't have anything jotted down here to bring into your attention, but let me leave this with you. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall never pass away. All that's out there made by man will be gone, but the Word of God is eternal. The Word of God will last the ages. And when it's all said and done, in 10 billion years from now, while we're in glory, enjoying the blessings of God and fellowship one with another, and with all the saints, and being with the Lord forever and forever, I want you to know something. The Word of God will still be true. Hallelujah. Bible said, let all men be liars, but God is not a man that He can lie. What God has said, you can depend on it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He will never leave us, nor forsake us. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I found His Word to be true. When I'd been so lonely at times, I found Him right there. When I was going through a problem in my life, I found that He was there to lift me up. When I was cast down, His arms were underneath His everlasting arms. Tell me, a brother, He's been there. And He's here today. Thank God, and be not conformed to this world. The Bible lets me to know that in the days of Noah, that they conformed to the world, and they lost out, that generation lost out. But somehow I tell you today, that if we will serve God and obey God, be not conformed to the world. Let me use three illustrations quickly. I've used some of these before, but Korah, a Levite, a part of the ministry in the wilderness, after that great deliverance from Egyptian bondage, got some of his fellow men together and went before Moses and Aaron. And they thought that they had been maybe denied a position in the work of God in the wilderness. They lifted themselves up. They conformed to the things of the world. They were not following God. They were following the world trend. And you know what we're doing today in America? Humanism. We're being taught from kindergarten right on through college. You are who's important. Let me leave something with you. You or nor me, we're nothing. We can do nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. Korah and that crowd was wiped out because they conformed to the world, the ways of the world. I read in the days of the prophet Samuel how that God was leading them and directing them and blessing them. He had raised up judges. How wonderful God had been. And when they got in trouble and they cried out to God, and God would send a judge that was righteous and lead them back to God and give them, they would have the joy and the victory and they would live in peace for a while, and the judge would die, and soon they would conform to the world again. Over and over and over again, there came a time in the prophet Samuel's day that said, God, the people want a king. Why? I've been their leader. Why would they want a king? They want to be like everybody else. They want to be like the other nations around about. And so they've asked for a king. And God said, okay, I'll give them a king. Let me leave this with you. God sometimes will give you something because you want it and it's not good for you. It's like your child is 3 years old, wants a large Snicker bar 5 minutes before they go to bed. They'll be so hyper. They won't be able to go to sleep and you'll stay up with them. God will give you sometimes the things that you want. It might not be good for you. They wanted a king to be like everyone else. I'll leave this with you today, for I hurry along. There's not a king on this earth that I'm looking for. I'm looking for Him who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want Him to rule my life. I've been disappointed in a lot of our leaders. It doesn't make any difference what political party they might have been of, nor which one you are of or I am. I've been disappointed with some of all. A lot of them will let you down, but listen closely. I have found in these 80 years of my living, He's never let me down. He's never failed. He's been there. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And be not conformed to this world. My God, help us to realize the importance of that statement that Paul made on that day. Then I went a little bit further and I found how that the people of Judah, after with all the preaching of Isaiah, and he's died, and now Jeremiah's come on the scene, and Ezekiel has come on the scene, and Jeremiah's preaching of the mercy and the goodness of God, and the joy that I was in serving God, and the people of Judah, rather than listening to the preaching of Jeremiah, they conformed to this world, and they began to love the things of the world, and they began to go the ways of the world, and God said, because of that, there will be a time, you'll pay the consequences, and you'll be in bondage to the Babylonians for 70 long years. Listen, they conform to the world and it costs a price. And everyone that conforms to the world will pay a price. Before I go on, thought just came to me. I have it nowhere in my notes, but right now everyone here will make a decision. Either we will conform to the world and do as the world does, and live as the world lives, be a part of the world, or we'll conform to Christ and be Christ-like. To be Christ-like as a Christian. Millions of people today claim to be a Christian, but they're not Christ-like. Mark this down in your book. Don't ever erase it. People that claim to be Christians that don't live Christ-like are not Christians. I'm not the judge. The Bible is. What he's saying, preacher, every one of us, we'll leave here today. One way or the other. Conforming to the world or conforming to the ways of Christ. Conforming to the ways that the world's going or the ways the Bible tells us to go. Every one of us will leave one or the other, one way or the other today. Not on the fence, because you can't get on the fence. Oh, Brother Jones, I'm not going to make a decision. I've had people tell me that. Brother Jones, I'm just not going to make a decision today. You can't make me make a decision today. When you say that, you've made a decision. What are you saying? You're talking to so many Christians today in the house of God. How many do I know that one day serve God, love God, live for God, obey God, have the victory in their lives, and something came along? They began to conform to the things of the world and were told that it's all right. Everybody's doing it. It's all right. And today there are multiplied thousands of people that call themselves Christians that have conformed to the world. Paul says, and be not conformed to the world. And then he goes on to say this, but be ye transformed.
Stay with me. You can dress right. You can look right. You can talk right for a while. But that wouldn't get it. When the Bible says, be ye transformed, he's talking about something taking place. How can I help myself from conforming to the world? By being transformed. I could try the rest of my life, 1955 in the month of February, rather than going to the altar that Sunday with my wife and asking God to forgive us, I could say to God that night, God, I promise you I'm going to do my best to try to live as best I can. And it would never have pleased God. I promise you, God, I'm going to quit doing some things. And I'm going to start doing these things that will never get the job done. You know what I needed? I need to be transformed. So let me stop right there for a moment. Did you know there is a false transformation? When Satan, when the devil came into the garden where Eve was, he tried to make her believe that really he was there for her good. To help her out. And I read some scriptures, some verses that I want to just turn a few pages in 2 Corinthians, and I want to read. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. False apostles transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan! The fallen one, the rebellious one, has transformed himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What are you saying, preacher? Paul is saying the false apostles have transformed themselves into making people believe that they are the true apostles. Satan himself has come on the scene and transformed himself as the angel of light. And so many have fallen for Satan's tactics and followed him. And his ministers have transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness. Let me just clarify that and then come back. Satan's ministers have transformed themselves into holiness preachers. That's what that scripture says. In the messengers of righteousness. False ministers transformed. And if I can leave anything with you this morning, this is it. And I'm going to close with one more part. Don't allow anything to deceive you. Whatever you do, don't conform to the world in anything. In anything. I've noticed, I've been in the ministry long enough that people have decided, well, this little bit won't hurt. This one step won't hurt. Just going there one time won't hurt. One step leads to a second step. I've seen people that love God and serve God and taught Sunday school class in this church. Had the blessings of God sung in the choir. I've seen them go away and take a step. That they had testified that God had delivered from this and this and this. And they loved God. The Spirit was right. They obeyed God. And something happened in their lives and they took a step and they took another step. And we've seen some of them that have gone as far back in the world. What are you saying, preacher? Be not conformed to this world, not even in one thing. Keep your eyes on the Lord. There is a false transformation. And it's sad for me to tell you this. Having been raised in the Pentecostal Holiness Church and loved it, and still do. And having grown up with ministers in this very area, in this conference here, been to general conferences and general board meetings and youth meetings around all across America. Been to the World Pentecostal Fellowship Conference in Seoul, Korea, 1973. Ministers everywhere. It's sad for me to tell you this, but I can name them and name them and name them that got away from God. They conformed to this world and got away from God one man that used to be one of the national leaders of the Pentecostal Holiness Church is in a federal prison this morning. He had a position where he could handle some money, a lot of money. And it overwhelmed him. He conformed to this world in federal prison this morning. What are you saying, preacher? If that man that I've been in services with him, heard him preach, outstanding preacher, well known, a general official, if that man could be deceived, so could you. So could I. Unless we keep our eyes on him. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And I'm going to wind up this morning. Be ye transformed. How, Brother Jones? I believe Paul is talking from experience. No doubt that he has watched his looked back at his own life when he was unsaved, when he was out there bringing havoc to the church and causing trouble amongst the Christians. And then God saved him. And this is what I believe he's trying to say. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Have a transformation. This is the part that I like. That I want to leave with you today. We need more than refusing to conform to the world. We need a transformation. We need a transformation from the top of our heads to the sole of our feet. Hallelujah. I believe Paul was talking from experience, child, that after you get saved, after your sins are forgiven by the blood, after your name has been written down in glory, after you've been adopted into the family of God, I believe Paul is saying now, and make a commitment that you're going to give your life. Amen. Yes. You've turned the sins over to God, He's forgiven you. But now, give Him your life, give Him your all, your soul, your mind, your strength, your energies, everything, give them to God. Go on to holiness. Be sanctified. We're living in a day when the Holiness Church, listen closely, when the Holiness Church no longer preaches sanctification as a definite work of grace in so many areas. Be ye transformed, how, Brother Jones, by getting saved, turning everything over to God. Let Him have your mind. Let Him have your talents. Let Him have your billfold. Let Him have your abilities. Well, let Him have everything you've got. Brother Jones, does it cost that much to have the victory in Jesus Christ? Yes, sirree, and that's nothing compared to what He paid. You know what I've got in my billfold? What He's allowed me to just have. It all belongs to Him. Every bit of it. That's why when He speaks to your heart and says, would you do this? It's not hard. It's His. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the potatoes under the hills. He owns it all. Somebody said, well, Brother Jones, I've sacrificed so much. I haven't given anything. When you stop to think about it, I have nothing to give. All I have is what He's given me. What a Savior. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be transformed by selling out to God. Be transformed by accepting Him as your Savior. Be transformed by going on to holiness. Be transformed by getting in the Word of God and staying in the Word of God. Be transformed by seeking God for the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the power of God to be blessed in your family and in your individual life. Oh, to be transformed as a minister of God. The Bible says that ministers of Satan are transformed in the messengers of righteousness. My God, help us as believers to be transformed in mighty, powerful God. Amen. Be ye transformed, have Brother Jones, by turning it all over to Him. Yes. We're going to close. Every Sunday, I don't think of it every time, but every Sunday we come to church. When I walk in that door, sometimes I think of it, sometimes I don't. When I walk in that door, I never know. I never know whether I will walk out or they will carry me out. I never know. My wife has a condition right now because of the lower back, and her legs hurt so often and give way
That's why she has to hold on things when she's walking, steps and whatever. Her leg could give way, she'd be down. Surely we don't want that. What are you saying, preacher? We don't know what tomorrow holds. When I looked at the paper Tuesday and saw that Francis Whitley had passed away, I remember the first time I met her. They were having a prayer meeting in my sister's home. They started a new church. And it was in this Spanish church right up here on Big Bethel Road, in that building. A Baptist man was the speaker, the leader, the pastor. But they're going to have a prayer meeting in my sister's home, and they invited my wife and I to come. And we went. And there was Francis and there was Valerie. And we had communion. It must have been around Christmas time, New Year's time, and we had communion in the home, and they asked us to pray. They'd heard that Mike had been healed of a brain tumor. And what God had done in our ministry, and we give God the glory. They asked us to pray for Valerie, and I remember, first time I'd ever met her, sitting there, and we prayed for her. And Francis said, if you ever start a church, I'll be one of your first members. We will surely come. I preached at that church. I preached revival at that church. And when we began this church, that Sunday morning, she was there with Ross and Valerie. Sunday school, first service. And in the later years, she got away from God. Her husband died. And her daughter died. And she had a stroke, and her mind was messed up, and she began to do some things she ought not to do. I am not here to judge, and I don't know how it was when she died. But I beg you, don't conform to this world. Be transformed. Be transformed by the power of God. Let God do a work in your life. You say, Brother Jones, you're talking to people that love God. Surely most everyone here does. But I want you to know, folks, we haven't crossed the finish line. And the devil is out to destroy everyone he can. He'll try every tactic he can to cause you to falter and fail. He'll trip you up any way that he can. Make up your mind. I'm going to make it by the grace and help of God. As my wife comes to the piano, why don't you memorize those words? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know that perfect, acceptable, the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Be transformed. God, transform this church. Transform my family. Thank you for what you've done. God, transform us to be all that you want us to be in this last hour. Will you stand with me?